So I'll be reading Matthew 25 from verse 31. It's page 831 in the Church Bibles. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Brothers and sisters of our Lord, in Tasmania, the house that we first bought, Marion and I as a couple, came with a goat. The people that owned the house before us said, "You can keep the goat." We didn't really know if that's what we wanted, but that's what we got when we arrived. So there was a goat in the yard. What we used to do with the goat was tether it up so it would be on a long, you know, like basically two stakes in the ground with a bit of wire, sometimes just one stake in the ground on a rope, and the goat would wander around, limited, and eat whatever it could get. I had some pampas grass there, and just if we can just put it on the picture of a pampas grass. So that kind of plant, now that's considered a weed in Tasmania, and I always thought to myself, if I have the goat next to that pampas grass, since it eats everything, it will eat that pampas grass. Well, as it turned out, it ate my sheets. It eats your socks and undies. It eats your new plants, but it will not eat pampas grass. But it didn't stop me putting that goat very close to that, hoping that would happen. Now, our goat looked something like this. It just put the just a white goat. I was always a little afraid of this white goat, sometimes pushing it along, hoping it wouldn't bite me or sort of try to headbutt me. And the goat was named Abby. Now, when we left Tasmania, Abby had to be given away. And it was just a few years after that Abby passed away. I got a phone call, a few tears in the family, and he went to that great goat herd in the sky. But goats, they're an interesting creature. I wonder what Jesus had against goats. Goats on your, better get this right, hey? Goats on the left, I think. Then he will gather all the nations and he will separate people one from another As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats will be on the left. And I wonder what, how come a goat's a picture of sort of people that do not know God very well? Well, sheep are a picture of people who do know God, sort of as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Now, perhaps he was just saying that at the end of the age, there will be separation. Goats, sheep, Christians, non-Christians, separation. And perhaps that's as far as we need to push the analogy. But I was thinking to myself as looking at sheep and goats that sheep are interesting. In one sense, sheep are stupid. Sheep get lost. They imitate each other. If one jumps at a pretend fence, you watch all of them jump over the same pretend fence and you think, they're strange animals. Sheep are vulnerable. They can't look after themselves. They've got no offensive skills. They've got no defensive skills. They're one of the most vulnerable creatures in the world. But I think the reason why Jesus calls us sheep, and you think of the fact that we love Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The reason that the biblical authors often look at sheep is because sheep have this ability to follow a known voice. You find that in John 10 as well, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear my voice, know my voice, and follow me. Jesus talks about sheep in terms of a shepherd walks and his flock often follows behind him as he calls them out. They know a familiar voice, and perhaps that's why, and I think it is, why we are called sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, a known voice. We like his voice. Now, a goat, on the other hand, is quite different. You could be there, you know, calling as much as you like to your goats. Come and follow me, goats. And they won't. In the culture of the Middle East and thereabouts, a goat herd follows the goats. It's the opposite. And the reason he follows the goats is to stop them doing destructive things. With the sheep, the shepherd walks ahead protecting them because they're vulnerable, but what a goat herd does is he goes behind the goats and then he tries to stop them destroying everything that comes in their path. Because a goat is willful, it's curious, and it's massively destructive. They're quite different creatures. When Mary and I were in Jericho, Israel, many years ago, we saw some goats at work, and they're very coordinated and very destructive. They all stood on, you know, there's a tree that they wanted the leaves from. They worked it out very well. They all stood in a group. A couple of goats got to stand on top of the other goats. Then with their paws and noses, they reached down, pulled the branches down. All the other goats grabbed the branches and stripped it completely naked. They're very coordinated, very destructive. One person put this up and as a great illustration of the division. Perhaps, Ben, you could hit the button. No. No, we're going the wrong way at this stage. Anyway, this is the quote, or this is how they describe it. Shepherds protect sheep from their environment, whereas goat herds protect the environment from their goats. I quite like that. Shepherds protect sheep from their environment, whereas goat herds protect the environment from their sheep, from their goats. So you have this wonderful description, sheep and goats, those that follow the voice of a shepherd and those who do not. So the question comes up, of course, as you read it, you would think to yourself, okay, what's happening here? And perhaps even, am I a sheep or a goat? And we're very grateful for Jesus here for just talking about the final judgment. I think Stephen's going to talk about this a bit more tonight, but we're talking about the final judgment and what allows one to be invited into the kingdom, and what stops one being invited into the kingdom. You see, you're rather in the one camp or the other. I've heard sermons whereby the minister said, we're all a bit sheepish and all a bit goatish. So, you know, no separation, you know. But I think Jesus is saying at the final judgment, when he comes in his glory, there's going to be a separation. But what is the separation based on? And I believe it's this. It's based on our attitude to the church, to fellow believers, to Christians, and through that to Christ. So just allow me to explain. So we read these words. Jesus says, or the King Jesus says, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now the people there standing on the there on the day of judgment find this all very curious, and they go, no, when did we do that? And then you get this wonderful answer in verse 40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So what Jesus is saying is, your attitude to Jesus' brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters of Christ, will determine whether you are on the right or the left, whether you are a sheep or a goat. Jesus himself says this in Matthew 12. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. When Paul was persecuting the church and he was on that road to Damascus, he was confronted by Jesus in Acts chapter 9, and we read this. Meanwhile, Saul is still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. You see the link between Jesus and his family, his brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. Jesus is saying your attitude and your actions to fellow believers in many ways determines whether you end up on my right or your left, whether you are a sheep or a goat. Now, brothers and sisters, I reckon we're looking at some of the most misunderstood words in Scripture. Christian charities often use these words to get you to dig deeply, because they're into relief in all kinds of situations. It's all about social justice. I put on the next slide with just a picture that I grabbed off the internet, the sheep and the goats. The social justice crowd. And the social justice crowd. So what often charities do is that they say, Jesus demands of his people that they give to charities. And I'm not saying that's not true, but it doesn't. But what Jesus is saying more specifically here is that a Christian is very much concerned with other Christians. A Christian is very much concerned with the family of God. And I think Jesus was even pointing to the time when believers in Christ would be persecuted for their faith in him. Straight away after Jesus died, there was persecution on the church. And if you read Hebrews 12 and other places, you find out that so many Christians were persecuted for their faith. There were people that were hungry, thirsty, in prison, who had no clothes and shelter because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as fellow believers cannot just let another Christian walk past us without care for them. They're a brother and sister. And I think Jesus is saying we'll be judged on our attitude to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ if we do not love them. The Apostle Paul says to do good to all brothers and sisters, but especially the family of God. It's not that we don't care for the world. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to have a great care for Christian brothers and sisters. In the last 3 or 4 weeks in the bulletin, I've put little snippets in there about praying for the persecuted church. This week, I think it was about Israel and how difficult it is for Christians in Israel to live out their faith. Persecuted by the Jews, often hated by Arab Muslims. It's a difficult situation. And we have to have a heart for these people. This is what our calling is. This is what Jesus is talking about here. And as a church community here, there should be a great deal of care for each other. That's what Jesus is also saying. If some of us are in trouble, we care. If someone's thirsty, hungry, doesn't have clothes, then they're brothers and sisters of Christ. They're our brothers and sisters through faith in him. Then we need to care. I think that's what Jesus is saying here. A real care, concern, love that leads itself to action for fellow brothers and sisters. The great surprise in all this is that both the sheep and the goat, the ones on the right and on the left, are surprised. The ones on the right say, "When did we see you like that?" And then Jesus links it to the fact that when they serve others, they serve him. And the goats are also confused, or the ones on his left are also confused. We didn't see you, Jesus. And then Jesus says, "What you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Both surprised. And yet the results, brothers and sisters, of not caring for the church is very dark and gloomy indeed. And these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, when we read a passage like that, perhaps we're thinking, are you saved then or judged? How does it all work with faith and grace and so on? And I like this quote from Leon Morris. He's passed away, but he wrote this. "This passage deals with the evidence on which people will be judged, not the course of salvation or damnation." Like that. This passage deals with the evidence on which people will be judged. Jesus very much ties in faith and works. If you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, if you're one of my children, this is the kind of action that I would be looking for. It's a consequence of faith. It follows on directly from real faith in Christ. J.C. Ryle, quite a long time ago, over a century ago, I think, wrote this. "The last judgment will be a judgment according to the evidence. The works of men are the witnesses. which will be brought forward, and above all their works of charity. And above all their works of charity. The question to be ascertained, will not merely be what we said, but what we did. Not merely what we professed, but what we practiced. Our works unquestionably will not justify us. We are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But the truths of our faith will be tested out by our lives. The truths of our faith will be tested out by our lives. Final judgment to come. A separation at the end of the age. The king there in all his glory. Are we those who follow in the footsteps of Jesus as sheep follow the shepherd? Listening to his voice, doing his will? Or are we on the left, living our own lives according to our own priorities, not caring for the church or the people of God? Separation at the end of the age. Some people say that you can love Jesus Christ, but you don't have to love the church. I've heard that so often. But when I read passages like this one, I cannot see how you can say, I love Christ, but do not love the church. I just can't see how that could possibly be true. Because when we love the church, when we love fellow brothers and sisters, both here and overseas, aren't we saying we love Christ? Aren't we saying we love Christ? So just allow me to conclude. We come around the Lord's Supper table and we remember why we're invited. We're invited because Jesus has paid for all our sins, all our failures with his precious blood. But we're also grouped together. Perhaps like sheep of Jesus. We're grouped together. And Jesus says, do you love me? And then he said to Simon Peter, feed my sheep. Look after my lambs. And as we come around the Lord's Supper table, the fact is that it's demanded of us, I believe, that we love each other. That we go out of our way for each other. Support each other. Encourage each other. It takes time, it takes sacrifice, but that is what it is to be a Christian. One day Jesus will return. And Lord willing, all of us will look forward to hearing the voice. Come, the voice of our Saviour. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Amen.